This next clip comes to you from Regionally Speaking with Chris Nolte.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Indiana's gaming industry is picking back up after the pandemic and knocked it down considerably. Let's check the latest. Ed Feigenbaum is the creator and editor of the Indiana Gaming Insight and the Indiana Legislative Insight newsletters from Hannah News Service. He's with us from Indianapolis. Ed, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Great to be with you, Chris, and we'll be talking about tailwinds for the casino industry.
Yeah, that's why it seems that the headline showed that they've managed to pick back up here, at least in the latest report from the Indiana Gaming Commission. They've not bounced back completely, but they're making their way, I understand.
Well, it depends upon what you want to refer to as a complete comeback. I think the industry folks are very, very happy with where they're at, because if you look at one measure, which would be, you know, what they're actually bringing in, you know, after expenses and everything, I think they're probably in a better position than they were a year ago. If you look at the July numbers, and July is the first full month that we've had of casino gaming at all 13 properties, and the first full month that we've had since the casinos closed on March 15th, you'll see that the revenues were only down by about 5.4% over the year, by about $10 million. But consider that effectively half the capacity is gone from the casinos. So they're not operating as many slot machines. They're not operating as many table games, or they don't have as many table positions. They have fewer employees generally, although, you know, they do have a bigger complement of the sanitation employees now, but those are generally, you know, at a lower level than, for example, dealers and some of the administrative staff. And so the expenses are down a bit from what they were before. You know, the restaurants aren't fully staffed. They're not operating all of the dining options that they might have had before. So if their income is only down by about 5%, and you look at what their expenses are, you know, payroll may be down. I heard one casino CEO say that their employee expenses were down by about 20%. Payroll mm-hmm. was off, actually, at this one property by 22%. Marketing costs were way down because, you know, essentially they were just opening their doors and seeing what walked in. And so your general earnings after expenses are going to be considerably higher. This one CEO is saying, and this is a CEO of a company that operates in Indiana, that his earnings before depreciation and income taxes and amortization was 30% higher than it was a year ago.
When you talk about the changes, of course, that had to be made because of getting the casinos reopened from the pandemic and the shutdown that is ordered by the governor, and all of the expenses that they had to put into that, are they figuring those are they'll just have to eat those, and that's not going to count too much against the earnings that they have? They'll make up for that in time?
Well, I think that they'll probably make up for that, you know, in other areas. You know, they're finding that If they're bringing in as much income as they are now with only, you know, half or 75% of the slot machines that they had a year ago, you know, why do they need that additional expense? Yeah. And you're going to see some of those things pared down. You're going to see some of the expensive things like buffets go away because of public health requirements. And in some cases, you know, some casinos were already starting to change those to some type of delivered food options as opposed to, you know, an open buffet even before the pandemic hit, just because of the expenses and the number of people that were using that and the ability of staff to cope with that. So there are going to be some permanent changes that you're going to see. Some of them will be saving some money, and, you know, if they're going to have to be purchasing PPE for the employees, if they're going to be having to purchase masks and all the sanitation equipment, the, you know, hand sanitizer, the sprays that, you know, the employees are going to have to go and use after every patron uses a stool at a slot machine or a chair at a table game, you know, certainly that's going to be up. But I think on balance, they're not going to be totally unhappy with where they are. Now, the flip side of that, Chris, is that, you know, we don't know how normal these circumstances are today.
Right.
You know, when the casinos reopened in July, they opened in essentially a pretty good position because there weren't a whole lot of other entertainment options for people. Movie theaters are still closed. There's no, you know, high school sports. There's no professional sports. You know, people couldn't be going to a Cubs game or a Sox game or a professional soccer game, an NBA game, instead of going to a casino. So the casinos opened in a pretty good position compared to where they might have been, you know, a year ago, where they would have been competing against other entertainment options for the patron dollar.
I wonder if there's been any thought or any discussion, might have gotten some indication from this, amongst the casino operators, whether, of course, you have the restrictions as to how many people you can let into a room. But I wonder if some of the venues, literally like the venue, which is at Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, all the places that basically have theaters or entertainment points within the buildings, which had to close because of the shutdown, if they can try and reopen them to some point, and then in turn they'll offer up some kind of entertainment options aside from just gambling?
Oh, you'll see some of that as well, and I think that Horseshoe Casino Hammond had done very well with that. The new Hard Rock Northern Indiana is opening with essentially a showroom, and they've got different options that they can bring into, and, you know, it's not just shows. You know, Horseshoe brought in, you know, boxing, mixed martial arts, the Thunder from Down Under review, all kinds of different things. So you'll see some of that as well. But right now, the problem isn't reaching capacity. You essentially only saw capacity limits hit maybe on the first day at some of the properties. So it's not a question of managing your patron load and trying to divert some of the people from, you know, Saturday nights to Tuesday mornings or something. You know, people are coming in and they're spending a little bit more than they might have spent when more people came in a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering that question because I know that that's always, of course, and certainly here in Northwest Indiana, that's always been the key because of some of the venues which used to be around that had to close, and the fact that the casinos with
they've kind of picked up
the load after the theater closed in here in Merrillville, and some of the venues that entertainers could go to for their performances that had to shift to the casino rooms, so to speak, or casino theaters, I should say. So I just wondered if that's going to help the entertainment business here in Northwest Indiana a bit now that we're seeing the business pick up at the casinos.
Well, we're still going to have to see some of the capacity limitations lifted by the governor. You know, that 250-person limit on those types of venues, yeah, is going to have to change.
Lots of things look right now is from what you've seen in the latest reports on how the sports books have been doing. Have they been able to bounce back as much as the casino propers have?
The sports books have done pretty well as well. Not so much the retail sports books as the online and mobile apps, but those have been doing pretty good business. The online and mobile apps have accounted for, you know, between about 75% and 80% of the business. And it's been a little slower for the retail sports books to bounce back, but that's to be expected, not only because of the changing, you know, patronization patterns, but also because now you can do some limited retail sports betting in Illinois, and you've got at least one operator now doing mobile sports betting, I should say, in, yeah, Illinois. And you've got some limited sports wagering in Michigan too, that kind of started about a week before the pandemic shut down everything. So there's a little bit more competition for that dollar, and we're starting to see some of that evidenced in the numbers. And you also don't have a full complement of wagering available to you in terms of the types of sports that are out there. You don't have people excited yet about college football because we don't know if there's going to be a college football season. You've got some strange goings on with respect to Major League Baseball. You don't know whether, for example, the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be able to finish out their season. The Cardinals are coming to town, to Chicago. next weekend to play the White Sox. Well, do we know if they're really going to be able to play? They've had to cancel their last three series because of COVID-19. So there are all kinds of different things that are affecting the wagering patterns, and you also don't have National Football League betting that's fully open. You've got some futures bets, but you know, again, that's a little bit risky right now for the players, at least in terms of putting some money down and knowing what you're wagering on, because you don't know necessarily what the schedule is going to be, whether there are going to be some changes there. And obviously, individual game wagers will be refunded if those games don't take place. But if you're making a bet on, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl or how the season's going to end with particular win-loss records or something, you're not going to be able to recoup those dollars until everything's said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have some other interesting things going on in terms of the 40,000-foot view, Chris, you know, with respect to the sale coming up, potential sale, we should say, of Horseshoe Casino Hammond and then two other properties in the state.
I was going to ask you about that next, is how things are coming along with that.
Well, we don't know and we won't know, but there are some interesting variables going on there. Now, of course, with the merger of Caesars and Eldorado Entertainment, Eldorado Resorts, Inc., Eldorado agreed to divest three casinos in Indiana, and they said that the three properties that they would be looking at selling would be Horseshoe Casino Hammond, Tropicana Evansville, and Caesars Southern Indiana. Now, Horseshoe, obviously, is the premier property in the state, should bring the biggest sales price, but there are all kinds of strange variables out there right now. First is that everybody knows that Eldorado has to divest those three properties here in Indiana, has to have a sales agreement by December 31st. So there's a forced sale, and people know that they're under the gun to do this. Now, there are also other properties that Eldorado has agreed to divest around the country, some in New Jersey, I think Missouri, and one or two other states. So there are going to be a whole lot of properties that are on the market, and that also tends to obviously lower the prices. In addition, you've got the question about what the outlook for the casinos is really going to be. You know, you're essentially selling right now at a very uncertain point, and it's not good for the seller. It is good for the buyer, though. And you know, when you look at the flip side here, yes, it's not good for Eldorado, but you may get a buyer who comes in and gets a property at a rock bottom price and then has more money to invest in upgrading the property, adding on, you know, maybe a hotel in Hammond, those types of things.
Right.
So, you know, there are pluses and minuses to this, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's in the market for these properties. You've got the uncertainty of the Chicagoland market that's affecting this. You know, maybe a casino coming to Chicago at some time. We still don't know when, but you know, obviously the legislation back in the spring, I think it was in May, made it much more likely with the changes and all the tax considerations in Illinois, made it much more likely for a casino to site in Chicago. You've also got Hard Rock Northern Indiana that's going to be open at some point in 2021. So the market is going to be different. Nobody knows quite how that's all going to pan out with respect to, again, the change in the whole casino market given the pandemic. And also, when you take that out to look at the even broader question of consumer confidence and the economy in the United States in general, and how people are going to be spending their money or saving it instead.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot more to talk about in the future. And like you say, we still haven't heard officially yet about the changeover on the casinos. So that'll probably be a good conversation point the next time we get together. Thanks a lot for being with us today, Ed.
Lots of things to occupy us. Appreciate you having me as your guest today, Chris.
Well, you're certainly welcome to join us. Ed Feigenbaum is the creator, and he's the editor of the Indiana Gaming Insight, the Indiana Legislative Insight newsletters published by the Hanna News Service. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
You can listen to Regionally Speaking Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.